The fourth hour of First Up here on TSN 1050. Aaron Korolnik and Carlo Colaiacopo with you. You can stream us live, tsn1050.ca. Make sure to download and utilize the iHeart Radio Canada app. You're at work, you're on the road, you're at home. It's the perfect way to stream TSN 1050 all day long. Our next guest has one of the most impressive resumes of anyone we've ever had on this show. His LinkedIn profile, if he has one, is probably just off the charts. He's a former head coach of the Niners, has coordinated defenses of more than half a dozen NFL teams, including most recently the Dallas Cowboys. Mike Nolan, good morning. Welcome to First Up and TSN 1050. How are you?
Good morning, guys. Pleasure to be on with you.
All right. It's great to have you. And let's start with the news from yesterday. 16 years, Sean Payton stepping away from the New Orleans Saints as their head coach. You worked with Payton in New Orleans as the linebackers coach. How do you think his future in football looks? There's been a lot of speculation about what comes next for Sean Payton. Is it broadcasting? Is it another head coaching job? Where do you think he goes?
Well, I think, like you said, he would take the year off. I think we're aware of that. But after that, look, there's no telling what he would do. I think he'd do an outstanding job if he did get into TV, although I don't know that the coaching's out of his blood. You know, he's coached for most of his adult life, I'm sure, and he's very good at it. He's been very successful. You know, they always rumor about him going to the Dallas Cowboys at some point because he and Jerry Jones are close, and so, you know, down the road, maybe there's a possibility of that. I think there's a lot of opportunities for him down the road. He has made the statement that this year was a tough one on him, so he'll reflect as he's already done, and it'll be interesting. But I think he'll resurface somewhere. We'll see him doing something.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's still, I think, 3 years left on his deal with New Orleans, so maybe there'll be some kind of compensation package. We did see that with John Gruden back in the day with Tampa Bay, so maybe a repeat of that with the aforementioned Sean Payton. You did mention the Dallas Cowboys, a team whose defense you coordinated last season. Did not go overly well for Dallas' defense last year. I think you would agree with that. You did work with Mike McCarthy, who brought you in with the Cowboys. When you saw what happened in their game last week against the Niners, the Dak QB draw and the clock running out, what was your reaction, Mike, as a former Dallas Cowboys DC?
My reaction was it was a little bit interesting of a play, as everyone would say. You know, most teams would work the sideline and throw the ball out and things like that. They had, I think, 13 or 14 seconds when the ball was snapped. You know, it's a sensitive issue for the player because they've got to know that, you know, look, there's time and distance when you run that the clock is going. So how far you can go before you can get down. So the play call might not have been, they're really just trying to set up the play to throw to the end zone, I'm sure. I was just figuring, look, you know, I thought the execution was poor. Look, there are probably better choices of plays that are safer choices to get you a little closer, and that would be something where you throw to the sideline. But I know in Mike's mind, he's probably thinking that, look, they know I'm going to do that, and I'm probably not going to get the completion I want. And so he took a bigger risk, and he went with a different play. But like I said, I think it was as much an execution issue as it was anything else. I think the player just traveled too far with the time allotted. And so, you know, that's I kind of saw it. But it was a risky play, and it backfired on him. And naturally, you're going to be criticized whenever that happens.
Our guest is Mike Nolan, longtime NFL coach. He was the former coach of the Niners, and we'll get to San Francisco in just a moment. But your time in Dallas, I know it was brief. What is it like, the scrutiny, and this is America's team, the media coverage? There's so many fans, not only in Texas, but all around the world, of the Dallas Cowboys. You experienced it firsthand, Mike. What is it like working under Jerry Jones and having all that pressure on you in such a prominent role?
Well, it is probably the highest profile team other than maybe the New York Giants as far as the NFL goes. The biggest difficulty was the COVID had just started, COVID, you know, the pandemic, and it was, you know, you weren't really, with a new staff going in, we weren't the only new staff, there was a couple other new ones, but going in those circumstances where you weren't able to really even get to know your people, was really difficult. So, your question, you know, being with the pressure that comes with being a Dallas Cowboy, there's no doubt whether it was a pandemic or not that is it's a scale up more than most teams. But that's, you know, that's kind of when you get into this business, that's one of the things you kind of look forward to. I think, you know, it's the pressure of every day and having to perform and all that. So, it's definitely different. I would say that there's more of it than any of the other teams I've been with. And I've been with the Giants, been with the big city teams in San Francisco. And they're all the Chicago kind of teams, although I wasn't in Chicago, but all the big cities, get a lot of attention, but the Cowboys, do get, you know, like, as you said, I think they do get the most, and it's just, you know, like I said, I think that's part of the excitement in being, in the NFL. And it's just not as exciting when you're not doing well.
Yeah. Well, Mike, you mentioned part of the things that are excited to be in the NFL. And one of the things you got to do is, you know, coach at different levels, but you got to be the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers. And one of the things most people remember you for is your dress code. I mean, you're one of the very few coaches that decided to, you know, take the suit approach on the sidelines. What went into that thought process? And, you know, is this something that you would like to see transitioned more into with some of these coaches looking a little bit more business style?
Well, at the time when I took over the Niners, we were a franchise. It was kind of a disarray. We were trying to get it back on track. My history, I'd grown up, my father naturally was a head coach in the National Football League. He'd coached for a couple teams, and San Francisco was one of those teams. And my father at the time was a Tom Landry disciple, and he wore a suit also on the sideline. And back in the day, way back, I think that's what everyone did. Everyone wore a suit on the sideline. And as the 70s and into the 80s, it kind of trended away from that. And then the sideline apparel companies, I want to say Reebok and Starter and some other ones got involved in the NFL, and they started paying big money for sideline apparel. So that's, I think, what took the suits off the sideline more than anything else, was the fact that there was money involved. Coaches could make money by wearing, you know, other apparel. And so they did it. And ever since that way, I took the money the first year. I took the money too, not knowing I was going to quickly go transition into the suit and give the money and have to give the money back. Although I can't remember if I did or not.
hopefully you kept it. Yeah, you deserve it, Mike.
I wanted to wear the suit just to kind of bring it back and show respect, I think, for the franchise and for the NFL. When I started to do it, though, I will say I wasn't really aware of the complexity and who was all affected by it in the, you know, around the league and what it changed and things. But nonetheless, I kind of stuck with it. And they allowed me to do it for the years I was the head coach here at the Niners. But it was always home games only, and so we did it.
Mike, so you are absolutely known for the dress code on the sidelines, but we have to go back to 2005 and the NFL draft. Your Niners, you were the head coach and general manager, if I'm correct. Am I correct with that?
Yeah, I had the yes,
the dual role. You were the Belichick.
Yes.
So
not quite.
In my mind, Mike, your Belichick doesn't come on our show, so I'm a bigger fan of Mike Nolan than I am Bill Belichick. So you decide to take Alex Smith first overall, and it's been reported in the years since that you had at least considered Aaron Rodgers first overall, but you didn't necessarily like some of the things, your communication in the pre-draft process. What do you remember about your interviews, your discussions with Aaron Rodgers, and ultimately why you went with Smith over him?
Well, I will say it did come down to Alex and Aaron both. And it was all the way down to that last week we were making our final decision. And it was very close, I would say. We really didn't know who we were taking until the last week. We met with both players several times on several occasions. And I will say I was impressed with both people. One of the things looking back at that I thought was probably an oversight, or maybe not an oversight, but I didn't give it the respect that was necessary, and that Alex was very young and Aaron was not. Aaron was probably 2 to 3 years older, a good 2+ years. I think Alex was like just around 20 when we drafted him, whereas Aaron might have been 23. So obviously when that happens, I've had this situation before in the draft. You know, players are more mature. I hate to say it. There's some guys that are just more mature than others. And at 23, I thought Aaron was the more mature player. But what we had, you know, thought as a staff, as a as a group was that in the long run that Alex would be the better player. Now, Alex turned out to be a good player, but we would all would agree Aaron Rodgers, you know, is without a doubt a first ballot Hall of Fame great player. And the and I thought at the time that the confidence that Aaron showed at that time was greater than Alex's confidence. And that's kind of a regret a little bit on mine, because I thought we had a little more time maybe to get the thing done at San Francisco than we had. And if we knew the window was shorter, you know, maybe we would have gone another direction. But there was no question that you know, Aaron, even from a physical standpoint, was more mature and on the field, you know, did more things. But again, like I said, I thought our thinking was in the long run that who would be the better. We went with Alex. And like I said, Alex had an excellent career, but not that Aaron had.
Yeah. Mike Nolan is our guest, longtime NFL coach, including the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, defensive coordinator for so many teams throughout his time in the NFL. Let's look at this weekend coming up, Mike, the AFC and NFC championship games. Your Niners taking on the LA Rams. Matthew Stafford, a guy who has had very little, actually he's had no playoff success prior to the last couple of weeks where he's looked really, really good. What type of chances do you give your former club in San Francisco of upsetting the Rams?
Well, I think they've won six in a row, if I'm not mistaken, beating the Rams. So yep. It's really going to be interesting. It'll be in L.A. As you mentioned, Stafford's a guy that I thought was such a great trade for them with Detroit to get him in L.A. because I've always thought that he was a great quarterback. He was just with a franchise that had always been struggling in Detroit. And early in the year, I think throughout the season, I think he threw a good 10 or 11 interceptions, which is a lot for a guy, to throw. But as of late, I would agree with you. I think he's really come on. I think he's played much better football in the last couple, 2 to 3 weeks. He has, he's really helped his team to a lot of victories and done a great job. But like I said, I thought he played okay during the season, but not up to what I thought he was capable of. But as of late, there's no question he's played well. So I think this game is going to be a really good game. But like I said, it's hard to argue with the fact that the Niners have won. And then you could probably correct me, but I think that I heard the other day it's been six in a row, and they won both outings this year.
Yep.
So you got to say, you know, look, the Niners, there's no question the Niners can do it. But who I think is the better the team on paper would be the Rams, and it is in L.A. I would say this. It's a playoff game. It's a championship game. It's at home. I would give a slight edge to the Niner or to the Rams because it's at their place, and the quarterback is coming on. And for those reasons, slight edge. But it's going to be a great game.
You're a man who's coordinated again many defenses in the NFL. How would you advise the Cincinnati Bengals about how to maybe slow down Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs after putting up 42 on the Buffalo Bills in one of the most memorable games we've had in a very long time in the NFL? Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce. How do you slow these guys down, if at all possible, if you're Cincinnati this week, Mike?
I tell you, it's a great question because both offenses are extremely explosive, and I think it's going to be another good game. It should be a high-scoring game. One of the teams that has impressed me this year, Cincinnati, I would never have guessed that they'd have done as well as they did. And I know they've got a lot of explosive players on offense, but their defense, Cincinnati's defense, has really impressed me because they don't really have great personnel. They have okay personnel. On the corners, I don't think they're very strong. And up front, they did some good things. They've added Hendrickson from the Saints. He's done a great job adding pressure to the quarterback. But just overall, looking at them, I don't think it's they got their work cut out for them in playing the Kansas City Chiefs, as you just mentioned, with all the weapons Kansas City has on offense. But I got to say it again, I've really been impressed with the job that the defensive staff has done there at Cincinnati in getting those guys to play at a high level and win the games they have. Now, as we all know, a lot of their wins have come because of the scoring on offense. But that defense has had to keep it at least under whatever the offense was scoring. And like I said, again, they've really done a great job with the people they have because they don't have great personnel on defense. They have, okay personnel. But Kansas City is a tough team to stop, as you mentioned. And so I think what will happen is I think that Cincinnati will put together a really good plan, as they have all year. I think they'll give themselves a chance to succeed in the game. But I do think the explosiveness – of Kansas City's players and Tyreek Hill and Kelce, the running back. I mean, the quarterback's just unbelievable. I think that's going to be too much for him at this time in a championship game. I really do. So, you know, I definitely would give the edge to Kansas City in that game just because it's, I think there's a little bit more advantage going to Kansas City in the explosiveness of their offense.
I mean, we did see the Bengals beat the Chiefs a couple of weeks ago, but that was in Cincinnati. I think playing in Arrowhead, a completely different situation. He is Mike Nolan, longtime NFL coach and coordinator. I'm sure we'll see you back on the sidelines in the not-too-distant future, Mike. Far too much success throughout the course of your career. But I can guarantee you, even if you decide not to go back on the sidelines, a career in media. I know that's something you've done before in the past.
Yeah.
You could do whatever. You're a versatile man who has a ton of great insights, and we really appreciate you sharing them with us this morning.
Well, I appreciate it, guys. It's always a pleasure to be on with you. Thank you very much.
All right. That is Mike Nolan. Thank you very much. Mike Nolan, again, the former coach of the Niners, told a great story about Aaron Rodgers and Alex Smith, a decision who to pick number one overall, which is crazy to think about because Smith went number one and Rodgers went 24th. 24th, just crazy. Sitting in the green room at a Cal. And, you know, I think we pretty much know it's the wrong decision. Who knows what San Francisco's trajectory may have looked like if they had Aaron Rodgers for the last 15 years. But Green Bay, it's a lot of wins, a Super Bowl, a lot of regular season success. But Rodgers did not come to play at Lambeau Field last Saturday night. And it's the Niners moving on to play the Rams and the Bengals and the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game as well. Coming up next, wow, Michael Landsberg. We saw him on CP24. He got all dressed up, full suit. I think it might have been a tuxedo. Now I'm being facetious. He's wearing a hoodie, as he always does, for anything he does. He's a casual man, a good friend of ours, Coco. Can't wait to chat with Michael about what he's been up to. And, of course, today being Bell Let's Talk Day, a very significant day, not only for Michael, but for everyone across Canada, as we look to encourage people to, you know, get the conversation going regarding mental health. Landsberg. Back on First Up for the first time, that's next.